Today's episode of The Beat is brought to you by the Waterworks and Header HVAC, now together to serve you better, and proud sponsors of Ohio State Athletics.
The way to save the sanctity of the game is to expand the playoffs. Consider me skeptical. I would be stock down on that, but Ryan Day is stock up, kinda. Welcome to a Wednesday on The Beat presented by the Waterworks. He is Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward, and we missed out, Berm. We didn't take that trip out to this Terra Mana, I don't know.
Terre Haute. Hey, I'd rather go to Terre Haute than that. I'd rather go to Terre Haute, Indiana.
Yeah, probably. I mean, any party with Tony Petitti, probably not going to be one that we want to attend. But Ryan Day was there, and he talked to our former colleague at one of our stops, Scott Docterman of The Athletic, on Monday. We got into some of those comments on Tuesday, and now we're processing it on a Wednesday morning where he was described, Ryan Day, as being tepid in his support of 24, but he did spin it into a way that maybe the game will retain its value.
Maybe. I don't think that Ryan Day's responses, at least based on what I read in Scott's story on The Athletic, was actually tepid. I think it's fairly clear to anybody who...
Well, I think in terms of 24.
Anybody who knows Ryan Day, and we're fortunate to know him better than Scott or anyone else, to call it tepid is to not understand Ryan's demeanor a little bit, because I think it's pretty clear about the discussion about the 2014 playoff, not the other stuff we'll get into, like the game or scheduling or the calendars. I don't think it's anything that Ohio State wants as far as 24 teams. I think that they understand they're the standard bearer for the Big Ten. They will carry the torch for the Big Ten, and Ryan Day will say what is best for the league. I think that if Ryan Day was given Adam King's truth serum, he would say, we don't need to go higher than 16, and it's kind of stupid and watering everything down. But
Ohio State doesn't need to go to 16 either.
No, but you know, I think that the sport itself, 16 makes perfect sense to me. I don't know why they didn't do that from the start. I feel like the constant changing of the alignment, the constant changing of the parameters is just idiotic. I mean, we did what, 12 years of the BCS? We did 10 years of the 14 playoff, and we've done 2 years of the 12-team playoff and are immediately scrapping it and doubling it, which is insane. And I don't think anybody wants that at Ohio State. I think that Ryan Day understands, again, the role that the Buckeyes play as the Big Ten's mouthpiece. I think he would rather not go that route, but he knows that it's good for the league, and so he's saying, sure.
You and I mocked, and far be it for us to question the math, a 12-team playoff when it came out. Said, well, this is the worst possible scenario that you could have picked out of all these permutations. That's what we said, right?
Yeah.
But they had to have selected it for some good reason. And for them to your point, immediately, 2 years in the grand scheme of college football is giving up without giving it a real chance. I have thought that the 12-team playoff has been more effective than I anticipated that it would be. And that's even still with a lot of these first-round games being lopsided matchups, blowouts, not competitive games, including what you thought was going to be one of the marquee matchups of the first 2 years, which was Ohio State and Tennessee. Yep. And the Buckeyes just absolutely blitzkrieged the Vols. But how you would take those 2 years of data and say it must be doubled,
right,
without even going to 16, I know that we're somewhat beating a dead horse.
Well, the NFL's 14, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, there's a working model.
Well, but they don't want to feel like they're cheating and copying off of somebody else's test.
Well, that's why you have a two-minute timeout instead of a two-minute warning.
That's
right,
true.
Because you have to put your own spin on it. And the people who are putting the spin on it are not the people calling the shots about football. And that is the real problem.
All right, so
what Ryan
I'm going to start. I'm going to start with I thought we would go with the game, but maybe we'll build up to that because I think this is interesting. This, again, was how Scott Docterman described it as tepid. I'm only reading it. You know, you and I weren't there to talk to Ryan Day. We might have had a different interpretation of that because we have a core tenet philosophy on this show that Ryan Day doesn't make mistakes.
We should probably do a show that
a live microphone
actually just lists all of our core tenets.
Yeah, well, that's number one.
Yep.
And I don't know that there is a close second. But anyway, Ryan Day said this, according to Scott Docterman of The Athletic, you could debate whether going to a 2014 playoff would be best for Ohio State. Which tells you which side of the debate Ryan Day is on. But I do think it would be best for the conference. And so I think that's significant. I can see that there'd be more games on campus, and I feel like it would be more engaging, more of the college football fan bases across the country. It will be, again, the trade-off is it will be engaging Ohio State's fan base, I think, far less during the regular season. Mm-hmm. I can listen to the argument that that shouldn't be the defining goal of reconfiguring the schedule, expanding the playoff, accommodating Ohio State or Georgia or Alabama or Texas, the teams that are now going to have multiple mulligans and won't need more
and than, almost than two a free pass into the playoff every year.
Like, again, 24 teams every year that I've covered Ohio State was the year after 2011. They would have been in comfortably every single time.
Yep.
So no longer do you have to stress about a trip to Iowa or tripping up against Purdue or blowing a game against Michigan State, even if you could have still been in the playoff in 2015. Those things no longer matter, like at all.
And but for me, the conversation about would people pay less attention during the regular season, I think that falls a little bit flat just because we live in Ohio. People watch every single Bengals game, every Browns game, with no hope of them ever making the playoffs. And people, Pittsburgh Steelers fans have been, they go to every game, they make the playoff every year. The Chiefs, those fan bases are fevered, and they will always be fevered. I think to Ryan Day's point there, which again, it does, that is a bit of a divergent thought process, because knowing him, that initial, the initial thing he says, which is, we can argue about whether or not it'd be good for Ohio State. That's him saying it doesn't matter for Ohio, it doesn't matter for Ohio State.
We can debate his debate.
We can debate his debate. What you can't debate is that it's good for the rest of the league.
Sure.
What you can't debate is that the average fan of college football who isn't a fan of Ohio State is going to be more invested because their team is going to have a chance. So I think that's fine. It's still stupid. And it still waters down the sport because it leads into the other things that we're going to talk about, which are rivalry games, which are marquee games that we've already spent the last couple weeks talking about, the Ohio State-Alabama series, the Ohio State-Georgia series, et cetera. Those things are undoubtedly going to be watered down and take on less importance.
And this is why, this is almost the first time when I'd be like, I know that Ryan Day means what he says, but it feels like the most that he's been grasping for a straw or trying to spin something that he doesn't like when it comes to the Michigan game specifically. And this is what he said about that. I think the game could even be more important. You're playing for either a chance to get into the playoff, which
I just don't buy,
or a chance to get seated high.
That's fine.
To get a first round bye, more likely. Or if you are already maybe predicted to be one of the top eight schools, then you're fighting for a high seed. So all those are critically important to your success in the playoff.
What does it mean to get a bye, though, in this point? How many teams are getting a bye? Is it eight teams?
Because
that's
what Tony Petitti's model is calling for, five rounds with 24 teams. So it is the most ludicrous bracket that you could draw up for 24 teams. At least that's my understanding. No one's going to agree to that. Or at least I don't think that the SEC is going to agree with that.
You have How many
I think
brackets?
It's going to be staggered.
Is it? It's two 12-team brackets?
Also, you had, well, no.
It's four 16 brackets?
The one that was that I saw yesterday that was retroactive for last year showed Ohio State eliminating conference championship games. They would have been the number one seed, and they would have played the winner of a 16 versus 17 game, which if you watched Talkin' Tuesday, it was Virginia against USC.
So it would be 1 through 24 seeding?
So the top,
wouldn't it just make sense to just, again, there's models out there.
Yeah, no.
Can we just use basketball in that case and say, okay, here's four 16 regions, and we'll divide them into the West Coast, the South, the East, and the Midwest? Like, why do they have to complicate everything so unnecessarily?
Well, and I think that's also why Ryan Day chose to mention the top eight schools, because that's what you're looking at for a potential buy. This is what he said at the end. I think with the elimination of the championship game, it keeps that rivalry as fierce as it's ever been. The stakes just as high. In terms of bragging rights, in terms of gold pants, in terms of hatred,
sure,
yes, that stuff doesn't change. But I would agree to disagree with that point. And I think if we had an actual debate about it, Ryan Day would have to concede some of these points, that if you are getting into week 12 and you don't have a conference championship game, the likelihood of that actually being for a championship in a league that's going to have potentially two or three other teams that could have tiebreakers, because you're not going to still have a round robin schedule in the regular season, which is asinine to me, especially staying at nine if that's what they do. It's ludicrous. You're cutting down the opportunities to clearly define a conference champion, which I still think is important. And maybe 6 months ago, I wouldn't have said that it was. But when you're eliminating everything else from the from this conversation to try and get to 24 teams, like, what goals are you really latching onto that are going to have something of consequence? That could also be Ryan Day's point, that they may put more emphasis on that last week of the regular season. I don't know how that's even really
it's not possible.
Yeah,
because the very real likelihood, and it didn't come to fruition in this conference championship era because Ohio State and Michigan were always in the same division, and the last couple of years it didn't play out where they had no divisions.
Yeah, should have.
But they are going to run into each other 2 weeks later at some point. They are going to run into each other 4 weeks later at some point. That regular season game will not matter as much. It just won't. And I think, you know, that's okay, I guess. Like, but
you might get in trouble for saying that.
Do you get two pairs of gold pants in this season if you beat them twice? Like, what do we – I don't know how that works. I go back to what I said over a year ago, which is, fine, let's just make that the season opener then. Let's stop having it be the last game of the year and have it be the season opener. So at least you get a time to redevelop that frothiness of hating them again. If we're changing everything, then change everything. Why pick and choose and say, well, now we're going to still play this one in the last game 2 days after Thanksgiving? Who cares? It doesn't matter. So just change everything. If Ohio State and Michigan are going to play each other in the playoff, then maybe they don't need to play each other every year. I mean, I'm not. I don't want that. I've grown up entrenched in the rivalry. But like, what are we holding on to some of this crap for if we're just throwing everything else out? It just doesn't make sense.
It's crazy. Given how long I've known you, for you to even float ideas like that, like why play it every year in the regular season if you're going to play in the
book? What's the value?
Yeah, I mean, I know you wouldn't say that flippantly, but that is, this is something that I feel very strongly about, is it's the situation that Tony Petitti and the decision makers are putting college football fans, college football media, college football coaches into a spot where it's like, no, trust us.
Yeah.
These rivalry games are still going to matter to us, and we're still going to try really hard, and being a top eight seed and getting a bye is going to be critical. Is it? When Ohio State won 2 years ago, they did not have a bye. Yeah. And they, as long as they got to play,
and they lost to Michigan.
And
I get the other side of the argument. Like, if you look at Duke and North Carolina in basketball, there's times they play four times. I get it. Like, you still hate them. You still want to beat them. But you can't argue that the regular season games have been devalued by the tournaments, because they have been devalued.
100%. I do feel like people looking at the college football playoff should take a close look at what's happened in the college basketball regular season, which is basically entirely meaningless. And then some of the trickle down with what you've seen from ratings for the actual tournament itself, which used to be the biggest cash cow that the NCAA had. They really ruined it. But, you know, you mentioned all the changes that are happening. You made a significant one.
I used to be a cow.
I didn't say that.
I used to be a cow.
I didn't say that.
I want people to understand this. If you go back to the Austin and Berm show, you go back to October. We were in Champaign, Illinois.
Correct.
Take a look at what I look like on snap judgments after that football game.
Okay.
I was 65 pounds heavier at that point. 65 pounds. And I was slow burn, trying to regain my health, trying to regain control of my health. And then at the end of November, I was fortunate enough to be instructed on how to do it. And that was from awaken180weightloss.com. My coach Mandy, the app that I still use to this day, the scale that I still use to this day, which gives you like real-time updates on how your body's actually changing. Awaken 180 helped me figure out how to better eat, how to better think about eating, and I feel so much better. You will feel better too. Go to awaken180weightloss.com and just regain control of your own health, but also what you look like, because I have the unfortunate reality of having to see myself on video nearly every single day. And boy, oh boy, it is a shock when I look back and see that.
It's a lot of reminders that you and I both have. It's kind of a three thoughts Wednesday from Ryan Day, because this was the wrap up, everything that he was quoted by from Scott Docterman again at The Athletic. This was about the length of the season. We've already heard this from him before, so it wasn't quite as important as the other two things in my mind. But I feel very strongly, Ryan Day said, about shortening the season to let the season go all the way into the third or fourth week of January doesn't make sense. So the sooner we can get the season over with, the better, so that we can get into putting our next year's roster together and bringing in our freshmen, because that all happens in the first week of January. So can we be finished by the first week there of January? I think that would be ideal. Not really going to get any argument from us on that one.
No, that seems to be one thing where everybody at the top of the sport has the same thought, which is, and again, this goes back to what I'm saying earlier, if you're making all these changes, then make the changes. And I know you can't put the game on pause. I understand there's going to be a year or two of some tumult where you're like, okay, how does this work? What are we doing? But they're already showing that they're willing to change everything on a whim, what they're doing with the playoffs. So let's just do it. Let's right. just stop doing it. August 18th through 20th, whatever, second week, third weekend of August, that's when the football season starts for everyone. There's no more week zero. You start then, everyone wraps up. January 4th, 5th, you're done. And then it's over, and then you can build your roster. And then we move signing day back from December, and you put it in January, put it on. So let's make January 1st a day, right? Let's just say January 1st, Rose Bowl. I can actually get on board with that, as much as I hate the Rose Bowl.
Now you're getting into dangerous territory.
Like, just do it. They're doing all this other stuff without any sort of thought about what it actually does to the sport. All the early enrollees enroll, what, the second week of January, right? So guess what?
Well, I mean, some of them have been getting there in December.
So you can still do that. Like, if we move signing day to August 1st and February 1st, you can still do that.
Yeah.
Right? So there are ways that you can do this that the powers that be have been asking for years, which is one portal window, one free agency period. That's it.
Legal tampering.
Fine. And then signing day in August. Let these kids who are going into their senior years be done with it. Let the football season stand on its own. You don't have to worry in December about trying to prepare for a championship, go to the playoff, recruit, retain, all the other stuff. Let's streamline it. If we're blowing it up.
Yeah, I think I would very much like to pick Ryan Day's brain on these thoughts again. I know that he will be back from the Big Ten meetings very shortly. Hopefully we can get that lined up. We will have I think a very exciting interview coming for you later this week.
Maybe not exciting, but very interesting. Kevin's pretty exciting, though. Kevin Reese.
I don't know if he's excited.
Yeah. It'll be enlightening, at least.
Yeah, we hope so. Entertaining. And people ask about the jerseys all the time. So, you know, we don't always have definitive answers about that. We have a loose idea. We've talked to Kevin a lot, you know, off the record, and try to get some insight about what that process looks like and who's picking what jerseys for what and cleats and socks and everything else. I know that Berm is fascinated by that, so he will probably be steering much of that conversation. But I'm looking forward to it as well, because sometimes we're not able to answer that as directly as we get asked to be. So we're going to try and get that done.
If people can, on this episode, on today's episode of The Beat, put your comments and let us know if there's anything specific questioning Kevin Reese, the EQ manager for Ohio State, what you actually are interested in, so we can try to get some answers. Because, as you said, like, we generally spitball in these types of situations. I'd rather not, because I know that there are things that are actually exceptionally interesting to people out there.
100%. And also, if there are things that are exceptionally interesting to you, America, you got a Freaky Friday mailbag coming. You can send those questions into theaustinandbermshow@gmail.com. It's theaustinandbermshow@gmail.com. So, busy rest of the week. May has gone very fast, and then there's going to be some recruiting
official
updates.
Official visits next weekend.
Yeah, coming from Berm. So whether that's talking stuff or whether we turn that into another stock watch next week, I know Zach Bourne is begging for more recruiting insights from Berm, so we will get into that. And I think you probably want some of those too. So all that coming your way this week and next week as we wind down into the second half of May. It has gone so fast. Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday edition brought to you by the Waterworks. He's Berm. I'm Austin. We'll talk to you later.